Financial queries? Talk to the Money Doctor every Monday on City Edition.
Okay, it being a Monday afternoon, just after 12:10, it's our usual slot. John Lowe from Providence Finance joins Orla and myself here on City Edition, our weekly Money Doctor slot. And if you have any inquiries or any inquiries at all about anything financial, do please let us know. 644-5106 is the number. Have you just come into some money? Are you thinking about investing? Are you going to sell your house or buy a house? Give us a call and our Money Doctor, John Lowe from Providence Finance, will treat all your calls and be able to give you a couple of well-sounded advice indeed. 644-5106 is the number. You can text us on 0857-106-106 and you can email cityedition@newstalk106.ie. John, good afternoon and thank you for joining us.
Hello, Declan. Hello, Orla.
Hello, John.
Hope you had a good weekend. I believe you were down swinging it with the best of them in Killarney.
Yes, in fact, being able to refute Ronan Keating, who got absolutely horrendous publicity there on Sunday. Two separate kind of stories in the same paper, which kind of went against each other. However, he was wonderfully sober, very talented, and definitely gave a really good value for money at a private wedding down in Killarney.
Okay, great. Now, on to our first caller, and it's from Joe. Dear Money Doctor, I'm considering purchasing a second home on the continent. I heard you explaining something last week about being liable for double taxation payments if the property is in France. Could you please explain this, as I have been interested in France as opposed to Spain or Portugal? Many thanks. And that's from Joe.
Yeah, hello, Joe. France is one of those countries that does not have a double taxation agreement with Ireland at the moment. So if you buy a property in France and subsequently sell it at a profit, well, then you'll have a capital gains both in France and a capital gains back here on your worldwide income. There's also a whole plethora of legal issues in acquiring property in France, and you would really, really want to be well advised out there by a French, or if you can find an Irish solicitor out in France. But there's a number of legal firms who actually look after French property here in Dublin. However, it's still a good place to invest. I know several clients who have bought out there, ranging from 20,000 to 400,000 properties that are compared to what you can get. You see it in some of the Sunday newspapers, you know, buy any four for 200,000, and you look at a hovel in Dublin and you look at the magnificent mansion.
Well, no, it's the same in the Irish Times, the Take Five, you know, they pick a Dublin property or an Irish property and then compare what that money will buy in South Africa or America or
France. You could do the same, you know, to be honest, Take Five in Ireland, you know, have one property in Dublin and go down to Ballinaclash.
Indeed, indeed. But the point about the double taxation is, though, if you have a property or you have a property, you're liable for tax under the French government and under the Irish government.
Yes, so capital gains, if you have a capital gains, that's it, you know, they'll take the money from you there, and then when you come back here, you've also got to technically pay. That's if you, of course, provide that information to the actual revenue authorities.
Okay. Dear Money Doctor, I've heard that it's sometimes a good idea to leave your inheritance to your grandchildren rather than your own son or daughter, just in case your child's relationship or marriage breaks up. Wouldn't this prevent your daughter or son-in-law receiving half of what you have left to your child? What does the doctor think?
Yeah, I mean, we touched on the you know, gift or inheritance tax there. For a child, if you have a child and you're wealthy enough to have at least €441,198, that is the amount that you can give your child tax-free in an inheritance gift situation. Unfortunately, you can't give it to the grandchild. A lineal ancestor, other than a parent, as noted, you know, in the last brief, would be entitled to only €44,120. So really, in this instance, I don't think it would be better to give it to the son or daughter, especially if there's that amount involved. If it's only €40,000, then, and they want to make sure that the offspring, the grandchildren are going to get it, then they could give it at €44,120. I might add, for any other non-family members, the current amount is €22,060 that you can give as a gift. So if any out there, any listeners out there who want to give me a little gift.
I can tell you that John will be the end of a queue of three anyway. Dear Money Doctor, I want to build a home of my own. As a young self-employed person, I'm wondering if there are any tax pitfalls I might encounter in doing this.
Well, you know, self-employed is always a really particularly difficult area, in particular when you're looking for a loan. You start off, first of all, by trying to, when you go to an accountant, you want to minimize your tax liabilities. So therefore, you're offsetting all the costs that are associated with your business, whatever it is, to try and reduce your tax liability, with the result that if it's a self-employed, say, sole trader, you're looking at what is the net income at the end of the balance sheet, at the end of the profit and loss, and that net income is minimized, because whatever that net income amount is, he's going to have to pay tax at his marginal rate. So therefore, that's the first thing. That's one of the pitfalls you're going to find, that no matter if he's trying to minimize that tax liability, it mightn't be enough to warrant the mortgage. Building a house of his own, there's lots of benefits. If he's in that trade, for instance, it might be well worth it, because he can obviously get things, you know, relatively free or relatively cheap. As far as tax advantages, there really are none, in terms of, you know, he'll get the mortgage tax allowance when the mortgage is put in place. But that's about it. But it's still back down to income. How much he has in order to be able to warrant a repayment schedule.
Okay, caller asks, and I'm sure there's many callers wondering the same, what on earth is happening with these SSIAs? I'm getting really worried now. Heard an economist say that we're having to borrow to pay for them. Is it better to cash them in now before something goes really wrong?
Yeah, there's still talk, and there's a nod and a wink going on. Charlie McCreevy, last week was quoted as saying, or maybe his department was quoted as saying, they were looking for €1,000 each off at the end of each transaction. Technically, if you were paying €254 a month, or euro, it's only singular, isn't it? you would be entitled at the end of the 5 years to roughly around €22,000, including the interest. So he's saying, you know, and you would have paid at €254 over the 5 years at 60. Hold on a second, I'll tell you what that is. 254 multiplied by 60.
No expense spared here for the money.
Would be 15,240. So therefore, if there's 22,000 expected, that's, you know, 7,000 roughly. So Mr. McCreevy is looking to get 1,000 of that 7. I don't think he'll do it, actually. I don't think it'll win. So if I am one of those SSIA account holders, I'll hold on.
You'll stick with it.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is, I graduated from DCU a few years ago, and while I had a student bank card there. Now, although in full-time employment, I still have the card and the banks don't seem to be too bothered. Is there a special deal for graduates on bank charges, or am I getting away with murder?
Well, the bank card, I presume, is that a credit card, Declan, is it?
No, I think it's just a bank card, an ATM card.
Oh, an ATM card. No, he's not getting away. He's not getting away with murder, that's for sure. He's probably been charged for that. The record where he has, that's the first point of call that he would, in any subsequent requirement that he has, would go to, because they have his record there. And therefore, normally you'll find that particular students who are going to university, their first account, normally they'll stay with that first account because that's where the history is there. It's only when they come around to looking for mortgages or insurance or specific financial products that they'll actually shop around.
Okay. You're listening to City Edition with Orla and Declan. We're with John Lowe from Providence Finance, our money doctor. As it's Monday, if you have any economic inquiries at all, any monetary worries, give us a call. 644-5106 is the telephone number. We'll be back after Dimitri has news.
2020 News on News Talk 106. Financial queries? Talk to the Money Doctor every Monday on City Edition.
John Lowe is with us. We're in the middle of our Money Doctor slot. John Lowe from Providence Finance. John, we go straight to the queries because we've lots of them to get through. A caller says, don't want and strictly don't need a credit card at the moment. However, I'm approaching 30 and I feel obliged to get one for any unforeseen circumstances. What's the best deal at the moment?
Well, the best deal is pay off your credit card every month. That is by far and away the best advice that you could possibly give, because all the credit card companies are actually making hand over fist. And even though you'll get some who'll say, listen, we'll transfer your balance over at 0%, and then for the first 6 months we'll only charge you 6%. It then goes up to the obligatory about, I think it's maybe 14 to 16% is the minimum. There's a number of them still charging 23%. And therefore, the real, you'd be better off actually having an overdraft facility. Some of the banks give a gold card where you'd have a 5,000 overdraft facility available to you, so that if you do decide not to pay off the credit card at the end of a particular month, it goes onto your overdraft facility, and as long as it's within the 5,000 that is, and you're only paying, 10%, maybe 9 or 10%.
But as regards choosing between credit card companies, it's much of a much less.
It's much, although some will say MBNA might be the cheaper option. However, if you're going to be paying off your credit card, they all operate Visa. It doesn't really make any difference, because that's the best advice to get, is
swings,
pay it off.
Swings and roundabouts. Connor in Whitehall says, I'm 16, I'm looking for a good place to save money. Any ideas, John?
Aside from the piggy bank, I suppose.
Well, to be honest, at 16 I might be saving in a credit union initially, because, he'll probably want to get his first Honda 50. Do they still get Honda 50s?
Something like that,
17,
I'm sure.
18.
Little
so
mopeds.
He can go in, and once he has a record and he needs to save up for, that moped, two grand is 2,000 we'd buy a moped, would it?
Well, I'm not sure, actually.
2,000. So, he gets four times whatever he's got in that investment account, four times he can borrow from that credit union.
Okay.
Lucy in the city centre says, does the doctor have any information on investment clubs?
The investment clubs generally would be associated to a number of people who come together and decide, stick in a few bob, and they either put it into either property or just put it into a savings club of some sort or other and invest it. There's no formal arrangements really in terms of investment clubs. They had some of these other words for investment clubs, which is pyramid selling, which is in some respects, nothing like what an investment club should be, which is, you put in money, and you, by the time the pyramid is finished, you're supposed to wind up with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But what you could wind up with is a lot of losses.
Okay. I'd like to say to all our listeners as well, your comments are coming in thick and fast. If you don't hear them this week, do please stay tuned next week. We will log them all and put them all to our Money Doctor, John Lowe, every Monday here on the Money Doctor slot. Pete in North County Dublin, I'm considering retiring to Spain. I have a private pension in Ireland. I was wondering if I could have it transferred to Spain when I become a resident there, and how would that affect my pension?
Well, it depends, Pete, on what the amount of that pension is. You'll have to wait. Whatever happens, you'll have to wait until you're actually retired. So if that's age 60, or if it's an executive pension scheme, you could actually get it out a little bit earlier. But if it's age 60 and you've got enough of a fund that you could have what is known as an approved retirement fund, ARF, you can take out that amount as long as you comply with a certain amount of other rules. It's quite a complicated issue, but you could take that money and bring it to Spain as long as it's invested in some kind of investment. However, the short story is no, he can't do anything with him until he's retired.
Okay.
Not to Spain anyway.
A twist, I suppose, on this, giving a gift to your child or grandchild. John from Navan says, dear Money Doctor, what's the amount a child can give a parent?
Well, I've heard everything.
Didn't
now.
Expect, yeah.
Maybe somebody like Justin Timberlake might be giving his parents something. Or,
perhaps.
Or maybe Ronan Keaton, back to Ronan.
True.
But in terms of, in fact, actually, he's done very well for his mother, as you know, died. Mm. And he's set up a foundation, Mary Keaton Foundation, which is getting huge money. He did a massive walk there recently. It would still come down if the other way around, lineal ancestor, because it's not a child or a minor, it doesn't work the other way around. So it would be lineal ancestor, and therefore the same amount applies, 44,120.
Okay, and very much on the similar thing, Mary asks, how much can an aunt leave a niece or a nephew?
Well, that's exactly it. It's brother, sister, and lineal descent is that kind of 44,120. Because it's an aunt, yeah, it's any other person. Goes down to the 22,060.
So it's half that,
basically. It's half that, yeah.
Okay, Declan is thinking of selling his second house. What are the typical fees payable?
You've got your, I presume he's going through a reputable auctioneer or estate agent. They can range from anything from 1% to 2.5%, depending on, and plus costs. Your legal fees would be generally 1% of the actual purchase price, plus €127, plus VAT at 21%, and outlay, which could come to €500-600, depending. That would be really it as far as the cost on that. Again, it will depend. If he's buying a property, he could do a deal with a solicitor and get one charge for the two properties, buying and selling. The auctioneer, most of them will certainly, depending on how big the property is. If a 5 million property, I think there'd be many estate agents out there who'd be quite happy to negotiate a fee as opposed to just give a percentage.
Okay, Derek says he wants to ask the money doctor if he would know the best place to put money away for my son, who's 3 years old, for when he's 18. We have €100 per month to play around with. That's from Derek.
€100 a month. You see, it's very difficult once, again, you can go to any one of the insurance companies. They all have these investment plans. And, you know, they're dealing with fund managers, and the chances are over any 10-year period, the stock market will probably outperform the rest. At the moment, it hasn't. Certainly over the last 3 years, it hasn't. But in terms of €100, if you had a lump sum, it'd be different. €100, I'd favour going to one of those insurance companies and setting up an investment plan with them.
John Lowe from Providence Finance, our money doctor, thank you very much indeed for joining us in studio once again. And as I said to all our callers, loads of calls coming in. Stay tuned. Please tune in next Monday. We log all your calls and put them to the money doctor. Not one call will be missed, we can assure you.